Truly is a privilege to be here today and be able to preach to y'all. I want to thank those of you who came to hear me. If you're watching on the live stream, it really is an honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. I owe a big thanks to a great number of people just for being here today. I know there's a lot of people who have really invested in me. First of all, I think of my parents. If it weren't for them, you know, I would not be here today. And, you know, that literally, and, you know, they took care of me. They birthed me. So I owe a big thank you to them. I'll just put it that way. They supported me all through my really 5 years here going to Ambassador. So I owe a big thank you to them. Also, for all you professors who've invested in my life, I think of Brother Spencer, who's been like a brother, like a big brother, and a huge encouragement to me, especially of recent. He's been a great friend. And also Pastor Camp, who I remember first year Greek when I first came, and he came up alongside me quite a few times, and in a loving, fatherly way, threatened my life if I didn't pick up my Greek grade. But I really appreciate him because he's been a huge motivator for me to be able to do my best and really succeed in my grades. And also Pastor Dylan, I've appreciated his testimony, his teaching, both in the classroom and in church, being able to go to his church and just be able to learn under him, learn what a pastor ought to be like, and just a great encouragement. And I think I could go down the list. I could keep going, but those are the ones that are prominent in my mind who I think I've learned the most from, although all of you have contributed to my time here, and I just really want to thank you for that. And also, lastly, there's a lot of friends that I could thank, too. Without the friends that I've made during my time here, I also would not have pulled through. There's a lot of times that I was discouraged or down, and I've had people there to encourage me in the Lord, people there to kind of bring me along and help me to continue strong. And so I owe a big thank you to all of you, really. We'll turn in our Bibles today to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 is where we're going to be. But I want to ask a question. Has any of you ever been rejected? I was thinking about a young man who was born and raised in New York City. And he's got an interesting story because as he was in high school, he tried out for the varsity basketball team. And he was rejected. He was turned down. He couldn't make the cut. They told him he was too small. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't fast enough. So they rejected him. And that young man went home and, you know, much like I probably would have too if I had been rejected from something that I loved doing, he went home and he cried. And, man, he was tore up about being rejected from the team. But let's think about this. There's a much worse rejection at stake here today. And that's not you being rejected from a team. That's not you being rejected from a college or a church or anything like that. That's you being rejected by God. And I want to look at the example of a young man today who faced such a rejection. And I want to ask you this question. And we're going to ask this question of the text. We're going to ask this question of the young man who we're going to look at, but I want you to ask this question personally. Whether you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you know you're on your way to heaven, or maybe you've got some doubts, you don't know. I want to ask you this question. How will you come to God? How will you personally come to God? So we begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 7. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." I want to look at a couple points from the life of this young man named Cain. We're looking specifically at a sacrifice. And so that'll take us to point number one, and that is the contribution of Cain. And we see that there's a right way, based on this text, we see there's a right way to present yourself to God, and there is a wrong way to present yourself to God. The right way clearly is seen in Abel, when Abel brings the firstlings of his flock, and it says that God had respect, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So Abel offered to God a special kind of offering. We see that if we look at Hebrews 11:4, it says that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice. So Abel brought an offering of faith to God. Abel was both sincere and he was obedient. But then we also know, and that's probably what we're going to spend more of our time on because we're talking about Cain, is that there is a wrong way as well. We see that Cain offered to God an offering of works. Now the Bible tells us that Cain was a tiller of the ground. What that means is he was a farmer. And I don't know if you know anything about farming, but farming happens to be some pretty tough work. If you want to do well at farming and you want to raise some good crops and have a good high yield, that means you're going to have to put in quite a bit of work. And so if Cain is bringing to God an offering of the best that he has, the best that he has to offer is his works. Everything that he's worked toward is this crop, and he's offering it to God. And we'll see that there is a fundamental problem with that. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. We also see that Cain's sincerity turned into severe envy. Because it says in verse 5, it says, unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And here's what it says about Cain. It says that he was very wroth, very angry, and his countenance fell. We could say that he was very angry and he was very disappointed. So we see that Cain's contribution was not accepted. But secondly, we will see that Cain was confronted. We see the confrontation of Cain. Notice something interesting is that when God comes to Cain in this confronting manner, he comes to him and he addresses Cain. He doesn't start off by accusing him, hey, Cain, you know you're doing wrong. You know you're supposed to not offer me an offering of works. You're supposed to offer an offering of faith. He doesn't come to him like that. No, he comes to him and asks him some questions. He says, Cain, why are you angry? Why are you wroth, Cain? And why is your countenance fallen? Why are you disappointed? See, Cain thought he could come to God by his works. How will you come to God? Will you offer God the best that you have? Will you offer him your works? Or will you offer him faith? So he asks him, why are you angry, Cain? Why are you disappointed? He says, if you do well, verse 7. If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted? In a sort of roundabout way, he's asking, hey Cain, is there anything that you need to change? You know, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, wouldn't you be accepted, Cain? So if you're not being accepted, Cain, do you think there's something you need to change? Well, Christian, if you're offering to God an offering of works, if you're giving him the best that your flesh has to offer, let me ask you this. Is there something you need to change? How are you going to come to God? God warns Cain that if he won't change, if he is unwilling and refuses to change, that there will be consequences. He tells him, if you don't change, Cain, sin is at hand. It's near. It lieth at the door. And it will overpower you. Its goal, sin's goal, is not to just come to you and to trip you up. Its goal is to come to you and overpower you. But he says, you ought to be able to overcome this, Cain. But Cain has to make a choice. And you know, each and every one of us has to make a choice as well. Will you change? We see Cain makes his choice, and that leads us to his condemnation. We see that in verses 8 and 9. We haven't read those yet, so let's go ahead. It says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, Cain refused the wisdom of God. Because God gives him another chance, and he chooses to not get right, but to continue in his disobedience. The story kind of builds here because God confronts Cain and he says, Cain, is there anything you need to change? And Cain doesn't answer verbally, but his lifestyle does. The next verses tell us what his choice was. His anger builds and eventually he goes and he talks with Abel, his brother, and his envy turns to murder.
How did he get there?
Well, he made a choice. He made a choice to not change. He made a choice to refuse the wisdom of God. And he also refuses the provision of God. You notice when God comes to Cain, after he's murdered Abel, his brother, he comes to him and asks him, he says, Cain, where's your brother? He gives him another chance to repent. He gives him another chance. And Cain refuses. He says, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. Why should I know where he is? He refuses that chance. God offers us chances. And ultimately, what happens to Cain? We see this in verse 16, that Cain goes to hell. Verse 16 tells us, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He went out from the presence of the Lord. He refused to get right with God. But he didn't go to hell on the basis of his murder. He didn't go to hell because he murdered his brother. He went to hell because he rejected God's provision, his solution to his sin problem. And that's all we have about Cain. That's all we're going to talk about Cain's choice today. Because there is a parallel sacrifice that I want to look at that is just as applicable, maybe more applicable to all of us. And that is the contribution by God, the confrontation by God, and then ultimately, we will see the condemnation by God. So first of all, we want to look at, number one, the contribution by God. Have you ever had anything that you undervalued? I was thinking about a story when I was a little kid, and my sister was younger than me. Obviously, she still is, but she was pretty little at the time. And my parents were looking for some lost money, and I don't remember exactly all the details about it, but they were asking us if any of us had seen it. And so they kind of went down the line, and you know, lo and behold, here my little sister Amanda is, and she's, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5. She's pretty small. She didn't really know the value of money, but she told my parents, I have a $1 bill that I found if you want my $1 bill. And she says, okay, well, we'll go get it and we'll see. And she comes to them and she brings them her $1 bill. And when they unfold it, lo and behold, it's not a $1 bill. She was missing a couple zeros. It's a $100 bill. It's something that she had way undervalued. Have you ever undervalued something like that? Maybe you had something you didn't know what you really had. You know, I think at times we can all undervalue something, the most precious possession that we have, and that's our salvation, that's Christ. The contribution by God was His own Son. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God contributed to us something, and so often we undervalue it. Hebrews 10:12 tells us, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for our sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. God's contribution to us was His only Son. Matthew 5:17 tells us that Christ came to fulfill the law. So that means that any sacrifice of works that we have to offer means nothing to God, because God provided Himself a sacrifice. And we see that Christ is the only way to God. Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is the only way. If you want a sacrifice to God, well, look to Christ, because He is your sacrifice. He is the substitution for your sins. He paid the penalty for your sins. So that when you ask that question, how will I come to God? Well, it must be through Him. If you're going to truly come to God, be accepted in God's eyes, it must be through His Son. Because He is the only way. Acts 4:12 tells us that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the only way. Christ on the cross became our substitution. When I was back home a few summers ago, I was driving to work and I was late. And so, you know, I was speeding. And I was breaking the law. So don't do this. I was going way over the speed limit so I could get there on time. And the road I was driving on, I've never seen a police officer on it in my life. I'd never seen a police officer on it before this time. I've never seen one since. But this particular day, when I'm speeding to work, I came up over a hill and I saw a police car, and he was coming toward me. And so I'm like, well, he already saw me, so there's no point in slowing down. He's either going to get me or he's not. And I passed him, and I saw what nobody ever wants to see when they pass a police car. I saw those brake lights light up, and I was like, immediately. You know, you get that sinking feeling in your chest. I just got busted. Even though that's kind of a light way to look at guilt. That's not a pleasant experience, is it? We all know something that is much less pleasant than that is when I think about my guilt, the guilt of all of my sin, the guilt of the things that I've thought about that I should have got caught and I didn't. All that guilt, all that shame on Christ. Because when he bore that cross, the weight of that cross was more than just the wood that was made up and the nails that made that cross. It was my guilt and my shame and my sin that he bore on himself that day. And to me, that's far worse than experiencing my own guilt, is knowing that he bore my shame. He bore my guilt. Yet Christ, on that cross, still cried out with those last breaths. He was willing to bear my sin. And with his last breath, he cried out, "It is finished." And the payment was made in full. The sacrifice for my sin was complete. God paid my way. So, how do I get to God? It's by his Son. I can do no good that will get me to heaven. I can do nothing that will earn me favor with him. Just as Cain found out, we all have to make this choice. How will you get to God? Will you do it in your own strength? Because if you do, you'll be rejected. Or will you do it through his Son? We have a choice to make. We see the confrontation. We'll move quickly here and be done. Just as Cain had a choice to make, all of us have a choice to make. We have to choose whether or not we're going to obey God or we're going to continue in our works. We're going to continue in our sin. Maybe you're just doing things in the power of your own self. You're wanting to serve God. Man, I really have a sincere desire to serve God, but you're unwilling to let him do the work. You want to do the work yourself. Well, you will be rejected. And you are rejected. And he's telling you that you have a choice to change. Romans 10:13 tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to know how you come to God? Call on his name. Call on the name of the Lord. Paul declares that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. There's nothing good that I can do that can merit me favor with God, and there is nothing good that you can do that can merit you favor with God. So you have a choice to make. You can change, or you can rebel. You're going to make one of two choices. Regardless of whether or not you think in your mind, you know, I'm going to choose to just totally reject God. You are going to make one of two choices. You're going to decide to change, or you're going to decide to rebel, just like Cain did. So what choice will you make? Will you change today? Will you come to God through the way that he has provided? Or will you continue to come to God through your works? If so, we see lastly the condemnation. Ephesians 2, 8-9 says, "It's for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Again, nothing we can do. We are condemned already. According to John 3:18, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." So let me ask you this. How will you come to God today? Will you come to him in your own strength, in your own power? Or will you choose to change? Will you accept his way? Come to him on his terms. Remember that story I was telling you earlier about that young man who was rejected from his varsity basketball team? Well, I don't know. Maybe you kind of know a little bit about basketball, and you kind of maybe know what I was talking about. That man's name was Michael Jordan. You want to know what happened after he went home, after that rejection, and he cried in his room? He didn't just stay that way. He didn't just turn his back on basketball. But he made a choice. He decided, "I'm going to do something about this." And so he got better at basketball. He grew, and then he joined his junior varsity basketball team. And, you know, as we know, Michael Jordan, you could contest this, but probably there is not another individual who has so impacted the sport of basketball. But you see, it all came down to a choice he made. He made a choice that he wasn't going to be content with rejection. So let me ask you this, Christian. Are you content with rejection? Are you content with going to God in your own strength, giving Him your own works, the best that your flesh has to offer, and being rejected? Are you content with that? Or are you going to make the choice to change? Maybe you're here today. You've not accepted Christ as your Savior. You don't know that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you've been trusting in your good works to get you to heaven. Let me tell you this. Are you going to be content with that rejection? Are you going to continue to rebel against God? Are you going to be like Cain and suffer the condemnation? Or are you going to choose to turn to God, to reject your works and accept His works on your behalf? He loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to sacrifice Himself for you so that you could come to Him. But you have to do it on His terms. So let me ask you this. How will you come to God?